Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today I am going to introduce a brand new series that we are going to be doing throughout the summer and probably year-round. We're thinking every other Friday, but probably once a month. So we try to do bonus episodes every other Friday, and I think this will be one of them. So it is called the 7 F's series, Flower Farmer Forum, Friday Featured Flower Farmer. So if you're new here, Flower Farmer Forum was an in-person workshop that I hosted in January in central Minnesota. And it is actually available online, all of the speakers and resources, and I can put those episode notes in the show notes. You can buy the online version, but it was absolutely amazing. Everyone learned so much. I literally made a list of the things that I was wondering after a year three, multiple six-figure generating flower farm. There were still things that I'm like, I need help. I need to learn this. And if I'm wondering it, I bet other people are. So I was not the presenter. I brought in experts on these topics and I invited whoever wanted to come. You know, it was not free. It was a workshop that, you know, people paid to attend and then they were able to get access to the online videos. They were able to get the recordings and it was absolutely amazing. We hosted it at the Holiday Inn in St. Cloud. We will be hosting it again next year in 2025. Everyone that came last year is like, oh, heck yeah, I'm putting this into my calendar already. But so the Flower Farmer Forum, Friday Feature Flower Farmer, is interviewing different flower farmers across the world. And we'll put more information in this, but essentially you can apply to be the featured flower farmer. And I just want to interview flower farmers that are doing things a little bit differently or maybe the same. So the first few are doing things pretty similar to me, whether it's subscriptions or U-picks or stem bars. But I've got someone that only sells to florists or someone that only does weddings or someone, you know, just different ways of selling your flowers. And then that will have, you know, their social handles in it, their zones, everything. And I just want to connect you to other ideas and let's showcase how people are doing things, because this is a growing industry. This is a booming industry. And I do think that there is room for everyone. I think there is room for more locally grown flowers, but I do not think that we can all do it the exact same way and expect to be successful. So if you're worried that your market is saturated, you can still grow the flowers, just find a different way to sell them rather than retail with a farm stand and subscriptions. So I want to interview growers about their why, what they're doing, how they got into this, and maybe you will find someone that you relate to. So this very first episode, we have Katie and Audra from Ranchy Stems in Alpena, South Dakota, which is a very rural area, and they actually took my Petaling Perishable Products course. Katie is going to be coming to Farmer Florist Boot Camp that we have here on the farm in July. And they were not able to attend Flower Farmer Forum because there was a blizzard that weekend. But it's either blizzard season or flowered season. So we obviously would not be successful hosting it during flower season. So it's hosted during blizzard season and we just roll the dice. But that's part of the reason why the cost for the workshop was what it was, because we had a professional videographer there and we could record everything and give you online access with the username and password, and all of that costs money. So yeah, so they were able to still get the online version. But anyway, without further ado, here is Katie and Audra from Ranchy Stems. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Today we are doing another bonus episode, the Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmer, which I realize that's a lot of F's, but you know what? I give an F about you guys. I don't know. I'm probably going to get canceled because of this and people aren't going to like it, but I thought it was funny. So my goal of these episodes, again, if you haven't listened to them, we release one every other Friday. I just want to inspire. I want to network from afar. I want to give ideas. I want you to find people to follow. Maybe there's someone that's offering something really similar to you. My plan for these Flower Farmer Forum episodes is to feature other flower farmers that are doing things differently. So maybe they're selling something different than what you are, but then you can go ahead and follow them on social media and say, oh, they're doing that. I want to get ideas or whatever it might be, and just connections and learn from each other. So can you two introduce each other? We have, or introduce yourself. Well, you could introduce each other, I guess, but we have Katie and Audra from Ranchy Stems, and they actually were two of the OGs of my course, Peddling Perishable Products. So they've been following my journey for a long time. I've been cheering them on from afar, and it's just really fun. So I knew I wanted to have you guys on here.
Well, hi, thanks. We are glad to be here. My name is Katie Jones. I'm originally from the Westington Springs area, grew up there, and now my husband and I reside in Alpena. It was kind of a funny thing. I was never going to know anyone, marry anyone, or ever live near Alpena. That was a place that I didn't go when I was younger. It wasn't for me. Well, I'll have you know that's exactly where we landed, and I couldn't be more happy. So just a little bit about me. I was a graduate of South Dakota State with a biology major, and we now farm and ranch full time, and I no longer practice actively. Got three kids, a senior, a sophomore, and a sixth grader, and we're approaching graduation time, which is a new and scary experience as well, but we'll get through it. All the kids are active in both the farm and ranch with my husband's row crop, but they are also active in helping us in the flower farm. In fact, when we told them what we were going to do, and they kind of rolled their eyes, and I think last summer when I had my oldest out in the garden, he's like, Mom, isn't this a bit excessive? So it was fun to see their reactions as our tiny little seeds grew all summer and how they accepted it. But no, we farm and ranch. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and the kids keep us busy.
Hey there, I'm Audra Scheel. I live 4 miles from Katie, just down the road, and we moved back to Alpena about the same time they did. So we're both kind of living on our family's places. My husband grew up in Westington Springs area, and so we moved back there about 10, 11 years ago. I've got three kids. I work full-time for SDSU Extension and as a 4-H youth program advisor in a couple counties in that area. We just jumped right into this. It kind of been on our hearts a little bit the last couple of years. We've been doing some research and, you know, following Liz, following a couple other farmers that were really inspiring. I'm like, this is so cool. You know, we grew up, I mean, I've always grown things. I took the Master Gardener course about 10 years ago, and Katie is a Master Gardener graduate as well. And it's just my happy spot. Like, that's where I love to be. I get home from work and I go to the garden, and it's a lot of fun.
So tell me about the backstory of when you guys decided to really do this. I want to be a fly on the wall of when, right? You're like, should we do this? Are we really, when are we going to do this?
I think, you know, it, like I said, we'd kind of been sharing stuff back and forth, like seeing things on social media, following different people, and it was going to be our empty nest project. Like, oh, this would be fun to do. But Jim and John keep us so busy that with all things farm life and kids and all the things, you know, it's definitely going to have to be an empty nest project. Well, fast forward, we're doing research and we're kind of storing it all. And a grower was getting, we were on a Facebook group, and a grower was getting out of the business. And so I'm like, Katie, should we go down to Sioux Falls and see what she has? She just, at the time, she was just selling, she had just offered up her perennials that mm-hmm. she had in her yard. Like, yeah, let's just go down, see what she's got. So we did. We went down to Sioux Falls, and we're looking around and quizzing her on different things. And she's like, well, I got this for sale, and I got this for sale. And so we ended up kind of making a pretty good haul that day. And as anybody knows, I mean, you can't just buy fun things and then put them in a room and not use them.
Correct.
So we got some things from her, and we're having a good conversation with her, and she's like, this is a lot of hard work, girls. And we're like, yeah, we know, we're farm girls, we got this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she's got all these dahlias that are just about ready to bloom, because this is probably the end of July, I asked her, I'm like, so when you move, what are you taking all these with you? What are you doing? I've never grown a dahlia in my life at that point. And she's like, nope, I can't take them with me. I'm like, so you're going to just leave them in the ground?
And let them die?
I was like, I love all plant life. I mean, that was like really kind of poked my heart.
It's a living thing.
It's a living thing. You can't do that. So I asked her, I said, could we come back and dig those when they're done blooming? And she's like, absolutely, I'll let you do that.
And how far do you live from Sioux Falls?
We live about 2 hours from Sioux Falls. Yeah.
I just have to put that in reference for everyone that's like, oh, and I'm like, right. This wasn't just like down the road from them. They're like, oh, we'll come. But remember, in South Dakota or even in a lot of parts of any state, Minnesota, wherever, 2 hours really isn't that far very often. You probably make plans to go to Sioux Falls. It's kind of your hub of stuff that you need.
Yep,
so it's far, but it's not that far.
Right. Yeah. So we got some grow lights from her. We made a pretty good haul that day. And then we got all of her dahlias. She gave them to us. So we went back after it froze. And Katie couldn't go with me that day.
Shoot.
So I call my sister. I'm like, hey, you want to go with me to Sioux Falls and get a few plants? I didn't tell her what we were actually doing. Yeah. So she went with me, and it was
I have
hot,
two sisters like that. It's fine. I wouldn't tell
October,
them either.
And it was warm that day, and we dug every dahlia in her yard. And
how many were there?
I don't even know. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing, right? So I'm just digging clumps, putting them in totes.
You did not bring a potato fork. You did not bring a...
I did not have the right equipment for the job.
Which would be... That's hard, because when you're digging it up, I mean, it's this huge clump.
Right.
And if you don't, like...
Yeah. So we did break a few things. You know, it wasn't perfect. But so I got them all home and divided them on my kitchen table, you know, in the next few weeks. And, of course, at the same time, like, I've never grown one before, so I'm Googling, you know, trying to navigate it all. And am I even doing this right? What does an eye look like? I have no idea what I'm doing. And so it was just like trial by fire. I'm like, well, Katie, we're in it now.
We're in it now.
We're in it now.
Hard. I spent 50 hours. We're in it. We're invested.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it really was. And it's a God thing, you know? I mean, like I said, we had no intentions of starting this then, but sometimes you just got to go.
So what was your plan mode of selling when you guys first started out? Like, did you think like, oh, well, we'll do farmers markets, we'll do pop-ups. What was the plan?
So our plans, meaning our, Audra's and I, might not have aligned at that point. Because I was all in to grow the things, but I wasn't ready to tell anybody what we were doing. And Audra, she was ready, and I was about to choke. That she was giving me, making me nervous. Like, what if we fail? How are you putting it out there that this is what we're doing? We don't know what we're doing, but she put it out there. But I think my plan, I mean, I felt confident we could get it to grow. Like, we get something to grow. Yeah. I had it in my mind that all the flower shops would want our flowers. We would be able to sell wholesale flowers. Like, show up with buckets, they'll contact us. This is it.
Like, it'll be easy.
What?
Not easy, but like it'll just if you build it, they will come.
Right? Right?
They're going to want this.
It's fresh. You know, it doesn't come from Ecuador. We'd have no idea how long it's been in transit. You know, I think this is a real go. It didn't go like that.
No.
And I didn't realize, and Audra didn't either, we had no design knowledge or experience, like none, other than picking a pasture posies and throwing them in a vase. Mm-hmm. We just put irons to the fire and had to figure it out because we got all these flowers and what are we going to do with them? So yeah, we did some farmers markets. That was fine and it was good. It got our name because nobody had seen us yet. So it was really good exposure for us, but our flowers got beat up. The wind knocked them over. And I think we went 3 or 4 times and we were like, not for us.
I remember those days. I remember standing there saying, God, I hope nobody buys these because they're going to take them home and they're going to die in a day or two.
Yeah.
But I can't leave early and I can't pack up. And like, just, you guys know me. I don't really get nervous. I don't know. It's weird. Like I'm a pretty confident person, but like in moments like that, it just made me so uncomfortable and helpless because I'm like, I can't just leave. I can't leave this little vendor fair. I can't abandon my booth.
And I can't let all of these like 50 people walking around see me pack up, but I don't want them to buy this because it's hot out and too many hours have passed and this was a mistake. And it's a helpless feeling when this is money, even if you didn't buy it. And I actually have bought them wholesale before and done that or whatever it was. But it's like, this is bad. And that was where I got the idea of I am not throwing these flowers in the compost bin. I am selling out. It makes me mad when I don't sell out. But I remember the feeling of like, it's hot, it's windy, they're getting knocked over, and now the quality is compromised. I know if someone does buy this, I'm going to get it. Either they're never going to come back as a customer, or I'm going to get an email saying they died, and I'm going to have to refund them, and I'm going to have to feel stupid. But I can't give them away for free. And oh, just a helpless feeling. I'm with you on that.
And understand our target market. We're super rural. And probably the people that showed up at that first three or four farmers markets all have a garden that is probably, or if they don't have a garden anymore, it's because they're of that generation that no longer gardens. But their gardens in their day were probably three times the size of what mine is. And they were very successful. And I'm trying to like sell ice to an Eskimo in a sense. I'm like, I'm not sure so it was a huge learning experience. And we took a lot away, positive. But it did get our name out there, because then people start calling, are you coming to the farmer's market? Probably what we should have done is pre-sold them.
Yeah.
And then done it. But, you know, hindsight's way better than...
Exactly. And that's why you have to just experiment. I mean, I know, how many times did you guys get... One of my friends that we've become pretty good friends, then she took the Peddling Perishable Products course, which you guys did. And she goes, I think I might turn it into a drinking game. Every time you say, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll find a different tagline. But that is what you guys had to do. You had to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. Because that's what every flower farmer has to do. Because you don't know. Like I said, if you decide that year one is going to be it, like, I'm concerned if someone says that. If someone says that, like, that's not growth. That's not analyzing your market. That's not adjusting. That's kind of a blind. I mean, there might be some people that get lucky and it's exactly what they're doing. But for the most part, in a business like this, you got to figure out what your niche. I say niche, but some people say niche. I don't know. What do you guys say? Niche. Yeah.
Find your niche. They have to find their own path.
Yes.
No, we tried some, you know, just showing up at a little coffee shop that's super cute and trendy. Again, we didn't do a great job and nobody knew about us, and we didn't promote ourselves as great as we could have, because we'd leave and then they're like, are you still uptown? I'm like, no, I left 4 hours ago. It was awful. But what we did find a huge amount of success is people in our neck of the woods want to come see what you have. They want to see it with their own eyes. So quickly, we transformed my garage into a studio that looked haphazard, and the aesthetics are, oh, it drove me crazy. But they didn't care.
It worked.
It did. It worked. It was cool when it was 110. We were fortunate. We had a young aspiring photographer reach out to us, and she wanted to do a photo shoot in the flowers. So that was a huge boost to us. We had some other outlets kind of just show their face and, hey, we're going to do a clothing boutique pop-up. Do you want to bring flowers? Sure. And they didn't sell out. She's like, what do you want us to do with them? I said, take them to the nursing home. We don't want them back. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things come from it, but we did find that people want to come out and see the flowers. They want to build their flowers there. And what you may sell in town and what you sell at your farm, they have two complete different values. Mm-hmm. And finding that price point, I'm not sure we found it yet, but we found some things that we won't do, and how to adjust. We have to be really careful with the really nice flowers. When I say nice, you know, like your dahlias, your ranunculus, some of these higher end, it will be interesting to see how that goes over where we're at. Mm-hmm. I think our customer market will like the tulips and the daffodils. I think we just need to educate them more on ranunculus, dahlias. Mm-hmm. I think they see us grow them, but I don't know if they know what all it really takes. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to do more like the agritourism. That's where it's at for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, identifying that. So I want to hear your why. What made you guys want to start a flower farm? Because I'll be honest, there's a couple people that, you know, I'll follow them on Instagram or whatever. And it's like, I haven't heard you say anything nice about it. They complain. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of this. Nobody's making us do this. Nobody is forcing us to do this. Everyone has their why and their reason. And for me personally, it's not necessarily, and this might ruffle some feathers when I say this, but my reason for wanting to do this isn't necessarily because I love flowers, because I love gardening, because I love this. It's I want a business that I can kind of adjust. And since my husband passed away, like I just need, my daughters need me differently than they would have. And my career as a full-time primary care nurse practitioner, not just shift work at urgent care, but being the primary for 800 people when someone, they have their physical and they're scheduling their next physical a year later. They're taking PTO a year from now so they can come see me again. And now all of a sudden I have a sick kid, or my daughter, you know, she's got something with school, and I say, oh, I want to adjust my schedule in a week or two. And I can. You can't do everything. You can't pick and choose. But for me, it's that freedom of just being a business owner and setting my own schedule. Sometimes that means I work until midnight, but sometimes that means I can take a full day off in the middle of the week and bring her on a field trip. So you find the hours elsewhere, but I like that entrepreneurial life. And that's a big reason behind my why. We talk about it in the peddling course, but you know, you find your why, and then unfortunately you have to assign a dollar amount to your why eventually, right? Like, if this is the life I want, okay, well that life might cost some money, and that's okay. And then you work backwards from there. But what is your why?
So I have several whys, but I'll share a couple. One would just be, like you said, that freedom to be able to do what you want when you want, to some degree. I mean, it's kind of similar in a lot of different occupations, but to have that freedom, you know, financial freedom, and that word is not synonymous with farming. That's even strange to stay in the same sentence, but just, you know, that extra income to send a kid to college or help buy a car or, you know, all of those things that are coming down the pike at us as our kids get older. So that was number one, probably, for me. And then number two was, flowers are my happy place. I've never been much of a veggie gardener. I mean, I grow like two or three things that I actually like to consume. But beyond that, flowers have always been it for me. Like, I enjoy all of it. If my husband knew how much I spent at landscape places like over the past 10 years, he would like lose it. But he obviously sees it come into the yard.
He appreciates it.
But he does not, like, I geek out on that. Mm-hmm. And I love researching, you know, different shrubs and different things that make my yard pretty. And like, I've always done that to certain degrees. And I enjoy potting up my plants and doing that. And this spring, I actually had a friend of mine who, she was getting ready for graduation last spring, and she's like, I gotta get all my stuff planted around my house so it's pretty and whatever. And I'm like, I'll do that for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy that. That, for me to get to go to the greenhouse, especially with your credit card.
Yeah.
Like, I'm your girl.
Yeah.
So I love all things flowers. I truly do. And if I can share my joy and my happy with people, like, That's all I need, really.
I've always been one to be pretty independent. Like, growing up, I didn't depend on many people. My parents, I rodeoed, and I college rodeoed. It was nothing for me to load up and head out by myself. My parents gave me the background of the things that I needed to be able to get up and down the road. But financially, it was really hard for my parents to do that for me. So I've always liked the idea that I was pretty independent. But once we got married and had kids, that role changed, because I was not, you know, I was there for the kids, and I worked my full-time job, and John worked his job, and we farmed on the side. It was just a lot. And we were fortunate. I don't take this for granted, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I was blessed, and I truly feel deep. I love deep for the life that we have, and I was able to step away from my work and be that mom. And so I didn't have to answer to anyone else. When I needed to take a day off, I just didn't help John that day. I mean, it was fortunate, and I trust me, I say that it's not that way for everybody, but it was a unique experience that I was able to do that. But I also lost some independence, and I felt like I didn't have a spot. Like, was I really needed? You know, I didn't provide anything as far as income, but yet if I wasn't there, they'd have to pay somebody else. And so I had value that way, but I didn't get a paycheck anymore. And I didn't have my money, which sounds selfish, but it kind of bothered me at first. And then I got really used to it. Like, ugh, it is what it is. But when this opportunity came, I'm like, whoa, I can add another business to what we're already doing. We have several already. This is something that I can do for me. I enjoy it. I have a partner that likes to do it. I have kids that like to do it. It just seemed to kind of fit. So for me, it was be able to bring something to the table for our family independently. I didn't have to depend on him to do it. He allows me now, not allows, but the kids are big enough. So they're kind of taking my place on the farm. You know, the row crop farm, and I can do my farming. And it's just been, like you say, like Audra says, it's a God thing. And the timing, our kids are old enough now they can drive, so I don't have to drive them everywhere. And they play a bigger role in other ways. And so my why was just finding my space to have value only for myself. Like, my husband knows my value and my kids know my value, but I felt I needed it selfishly for me.
Yeah, a sense of purpose, a sense of, you know, and I identify with that or resonate with that because, I mean, everyone asked me, why did I go back to grad school to be a nurse practitioner after I was an RN? And I'm like, well, if you really want the truth, I came home after this crappy weekend of 12-hour shifts in a row, and Josh and I were engaged. We had just gotten engaged. We were living together, and I was so crabby. I'm like, I had to take care of this patient all weekend. And the PA was stupid. And they kept saying, like, let's do this, let's do that. And I was arguing with him. And guess what? Sunday night, he ended up going back to surgery. Like, he wouldn't listen to me because I'm just a nurse. But, like, and he's like, well, are you going to be a stay-at-home mom? And I was like, no. What? Like, no, I want to work. And he's like, well, this ain't going to work. Because if you're going to spend every weekend thinking everyone is stupider than you or you're smarter than them, you either need to shut up and humble yourself or go back to school. And I was like, you're right. And I think that is not something that humble women say. That is not something, you know, you're supposed to be whatever. But I am a very strong personality, and I am confident, and I knew I was right and no one would listen to me. And so that was honestly the driving force of when I realized that you're right. If I'm going to work, I need to go back to school, whether it's that, you know, whatever that purpose or that sense of self, and you owe it to yourself to live that confident life. And if that's what you want, and you want this higher purpose, or you want this thing that's yours and you can call it yourself, and if you need to have that as part of your identity, I think obviously own that. That's awesome. That's impressive. So the next question, so tell us what you currently sell. So what, we're entering the summer. If you have any customers that are listening, like what does Ranchy Stems offer and do and sell? As of 2024.
Right. So we have subscriptions. So we have a spring, summer, and a fall. Our spring and fall are 4 weeks, and our summer is 6 weeks. And we like the fact that June is kind of an open door, because that's when baseball is happening. That's when kids are going to camp, and that's when my job really picks up in the extension office. And so, like, I need kind of that freedom a little bit. And so we've kind of had things set up to allow for that to some respect, because our summer subscription won't start probably till the 15th of July, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so. I think that's true for a lot of people. Like, June moms and teachers and everyone is so ambitious. They're like, we're going to go to the lake, and we're going to do this, and we're going to travel, and it's busy. And by, you know, people usually start slowing down about after the 4th of July. They're right, like, I'm right. Tired.
Yep. Yep. No, they just, I mean, it's a nice yeah. break between.
So the sales aren't that great anyway at that time. I mean, no, really,
because like, you really don't have
me in my own perspective too. So we're both, oh, I should add this. You guys are in zone 4B.
Yep.
Okay. So same zone as I am. Yep. So that's what's nice about subscriptions, is that you can offer them when you have flowers blooming. You know, it's hilarious, not hilarious, but a lot of these like cut flower groups on Facebook, and they're like, well, when are your subscriptions and when are yours? And, you know, they're asking, that's kind of the example of the technical question, right? Versus technical versus adaptive. And it's like, yeah, but you need to understand the why behind it. This is why we put subscriptions when they are, and it's built around, like, so much more complicated. So you have spring, summer, and fall.
Yep. And last year, we didn't do a spring subscription. I planted 100 tulips. I sold them to one person. because they wanted them for graduation. And I'm like, then the idea, the question, you know, the exclamation point went off in my head, and I'm like, well, that was kind of too easy. Okay, so we added quite a few more for this spring. We've got about 1,200 tulips in the ground, which isn't a lot, but it will allow us to do, we kind of mapped out how many spring subscriptions we wanted to sell and how many we wanted to keep back for events. And so we'll have those available, and we'll just see how it goes. And maybe it'll be a home run and maybe it won't be, but we just wanted to kind of test the waters and see. And so we picked a lot of colors that would be good for our local schools in you know, the 60-mile radius, so that they would go themed with that, and some oranges and yellows and some blacks and reds. And so we've got all the school colors covered.
Good.
And and some fancies in there, yeah, too, you know. So yeah, it'll be fun. And so that's kind of the basis of where we want to be. And then we've got some things in the work with Katie's daughter, and I'll let her kind of explain that a little bit more.
So my daughter, Mercedes, she applied for a grant through the National FFA organization, and she was gifted $1,000 to put towards her SAE. And so she has used those funds to purchase corms and tubers and some equipment, and she wants to find a path within Ranchi Stems as well. So she's going to try her hand at some nursing home sponsorships, and that'll be something that she can just choreograph and craft herself, and naturally will help when she wants, but that'll give her some value within the business as well. So nursing homes are going to be something that we possibly tackle this year. And then towards fall, we'll probably do some more on-site, some on-farm, more of the agritourism, whether it be a U-pick or just have people come out and build their own flowers. But we probably will remove ourselves from like the farmer's market for this year. It just didn't seem to work the best for us. But those are kind of the areas: subscriptions, nursing home sponsorships, and then some on-site events at both of our locations.
I want a September bride.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I want to dip my toes in the water. Katie has raised her eyebrows. She's like, I want nothing to do with this. But I do. I want to dip my toes in the water. And I love dahlias. And I think if I could get one September bride, like, it has to be the right person. Like, it's not going to be just anybody, but.
So I have something fun to add to that. Did you listen to my episode, Flower Farmer Meets Florist, with Jenny? And she was the one on. So she and I are putting on, we're going to do two workshops at my farm. And she does weddings.
Yeah.
We're going to call it Farmer Florist Boot Camp. And yes, you will come, you will learn how to make all the things, you will learn how to price, you will learn how to interview a bride, you will leave with like a Canva template of everything, like you'll have everything. So that,
yeah. I'm definitely,
Katie's just like,
Katie's
no,
like, nope.
Audra's coming to St. Cloud in June. I'll let you know the date.
Okay, all right.
you can come. You don't need to both come.
Right.
And no, that's okay. You grow the flowers and you.
I really enjoy the design part of it, and like just the crafting and the figuring it's a lot of problem solving, honestly, mm-hmm, with a wedding, mm-hmm, event or any event, really, yeah, because you have to figure out how it's all gonna work and lay out and all the things. And so that part intrigues me a little bit, and maybe it won't, you know, maybe it won't be what I think it is, and I'll be like, nope, we're good.
Yeah,
but I do want to have one.
Okay,
so
I have to just put one disclaimer. The reason I'm not all for weddings or this one wedding, I get super high anxiety in the fall because we're getting ready to go to the row crop farm, and I never get to know when that day is. So to put something on there like a bride, I'm like, whoa, that's the day we're going to head to the field. You know that. And there's going to be rain coming the next day, and we're going to have to go a million hours out there. And how am I going to balance it? So it's not that I don't want a bride. It's just that that's a lot.
The logistics of it. And I think that's a good example, if anyone's listening to this. So these two are I think we example, like, you guys are friends, and that's how, you know, you're partners together, which is, I think, obviously can have, there's probably some challenges in it as far as taxes and who gets this write off or who does this or who does that, but so many benefits. And one of it can be, as long as you are clear on expectations, I told you, if you add this, you can use the flowers, you can do this, but like, you are going to have to take the wheel, and very, very, very clear expectations and boundaries of I don't want this to turn into, well, you just need to help, or and maybe you can and maybe you will and you'll see how it comes. But as long as you have the expectation that it's you or, you know, whatever that might be. And that's good. And that's it's important because to a business partnership like this with two friends, it could go south really quickly if you don't communicate those things. And so it might come off as like, well, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Please, I encourage you both to speak up whenever there's something that doesn't align.
And I think that, I mean, we were friends first, so we knew what each other's lifestyle was like. So I know June, July, and August, which are prime flowering times, Audra's full-time job, that's her bread and jelly time. So I get that. So when we have an event on the farm, if Audra gets there, that's a plus. I just know that that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And we get that. She knows in the fall I'm gone. In fact, I think there was a couple times my husband walked into our garage and Audra was crafting away and he's like, well, hi, Audra. But it's just understood that I get there when I can and she gets there when we can. And if it doesn't work, we're not afraid to tell each other like that we're out.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
So I've started speaking to some like young entrepreneur clubs, stuff like that. And one asked me, you know, what my definition of success in a business is. And it's like, oh God, I could say a lot of things. But I said, you know, when I first started out, I had to say yes to everything. I had to say yes to every opportunity. Someone said, can you do flowers for this? Can you do this? If it was anything flower related, if I could reasonably do it, I did it because I needed revenue. I needed money. I needed income. Because if I didn't do that, I couldn't stay in business. So I had to say yes to everything. And then it felt really good to start saying no. If it was like, nope, that's not what I want to do. That doesn't align with my long terms. And I feel like last year I was able to say no a lot. And now even further, I'm really excited to start saying maybe again, because I feel like my business is under control. Lindsay and Brittany that have been employees on my farm are coming back again this year. And like, we're not adding anything new. So actually now I'm able to start saying maybe again, because it's, you know, whatever it might be. And so I'm, you know, you're in the yes phase or in the maybe, you're in the no phase. And I'm just excited for you guys to see how things evolve and how far you guys have come in a year and what you've learned.
Oh, wow.
So
I told Katie that, I mean, almost every time, I mean, at least once a week. Look at this, Katie. We grew this.
Yeah. Or just, you know, I say it all the time.
We did like, this.
If I could have seen had I known this 2 years ago, oh my gosh. But you can't. You have to give yourself credit and you have to be so proud of the you that was there. And the you a few years ago would be like, oh my gosh, I'm very proud of you.
My sixth grader actually said, she goes, you know, Mom, you should put together a photo book every year of all the things that you did with Ranchy Stems. Wouldn't that be cool to look back year after year and go, oh boy.
You know? I am so embarrassed at those first few bouquets. So embarrassed. I'm like, take them off of Instagram. Like, go dive deep. And
for sure. For sure. You know, those first ones that we built last spring that, I mean, we did some foraging.
Yeah.
Oh, some heavy foraging.
Yes.
If you don't know what that is, I guess Google it. But because there's some beautiful things that are grown in the wild and we have some honey holes.
Yeah, I think it really come full circle. One day we were working in the garage and Audra said, Katie, I'm really proud of us. Because not because of what we had done, but she says, neither one of us had grown anything like this before. We had grown a zinnia. Other than that, everything in the garden was brand new to us last year. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm so damn proud of us.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's funny. Have either of you guys watched the movie The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? So it's on Amazon. It's hilarious. So she's this woman who in the 1950s, her husband has an affair. So she like is a single mom and she ends up like getting really drunk and stumbling upon stand-up comedy. And it's loosely based on Joan Rivers. And so like her and her manager are just hilarious trying to figure things out, and that's me and my podcast producer Abby, like with trying to like start this podcast, like we don't know. And as I start getting emails from companies that are like, we want to sponsor you, and it's like I don't know how to do this. So we're like googling like, how much do we even charge? Is it $5 or is it $5,000? Like, I have no idea. Trust me, it ain't $5,000. But if someone wants to sponsor us for $5,000, come on, send me an email. But it's just, we laugh so hard. We're like, we're Midge and Susie. Like, we don't even know what we're doing. But every time we do something, we're like, oh my God, we figured it out. But I would say another like business tip is like, you know what? I don't know everything, but I am confident in my ability to figure it out. And I feel like you two definitely have that mindset. So what, let's leave our listeners with just one little piece of advice. So again, very, very rural South Dakota, zone 4B. And that's, you know, all of your information will be in the episode notes, Ranchy Stems, ranchystems.com, Ranchy Stems on Facebook, Instagram. They also took the Peddling Perishable Products course. So if you have any questions about that, you can reach out to them. But what advice do you have for someone that's like, well, I could never do this because it's a rural area, or I could never do that? Or what advice would you have just in general?
So we kind of touched on this a little bit ago, but communication, whether that be with your partner in crime, or your significant other, or whoever it is. And that's kind of a funny story too, because we didn't necessarily tell our husbands we were going to do this. Probably not. Like, I wouldn't advocate for that as you're launching into a new business, but we also didn't know what we were doing either.
And you didn't know what it was going to be, so let's not overwhelm them.
Yes, right. They got enough on their plate. Yeah. They don't need to worry about our potential side hustle things we're growing in the basement with purple lights. They don't need to know about that.
They don't need to know.
So, they supported us, but I'm pretty sure they thought we had lost our marbles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And they probably think that anyway on a normal basis, but we pushed the envelope mm-hmm. with those two for sure. They kind of had the neighborhood convinced that we were maybe growing other things in our basement.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, yes. I'm like, you'll think that's funny when the sheriff shows up.
Yeah.
But don't you worry, I've already clued him in that it's not what you think it is.
So communication, I like that.
Communication. And the next thing is record keeping. Obviously, again, first year, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we needed to keep records on. But going into year two, our spreadsheet that we share, and it's just an Excel spreadsheet in Google Docs, and we can both add to it, you know, is huge. Because anytime we have a question, it's all in there. Mm-hmm. And keeping track of... we're going to do a better job of keeping track of what we actually harvest. So we kind of have some harvest reports and things to go on. You know, how many did we actually plant? How many, you know, how, what did we do this week? Just so we have an idea of where we're at with things. Because I won't lie, when it comes to a garden plan, you know, we have it kind of mapped out, but you don't know that's where it's going to end up. You know, mm-hmm. oh, I ran out of space, or oh, I'm plucking things in the ground by the chicken barn now, mm-hmm. you know, so it's one of those things that we just need to do a little better job of that. And that'll constantly be evolving.
I think as far as advice, I mean, if something is in the back of your mind, don't be afraid to fail. I think you can like give in to your failures and quit. Or if it doesn't go right, let it be your guide to motivate you to figure out how to do it to move forward. Because we failed in several ways. But it wasn't to terminate what we were doing. We took it as a lesson how to move forward and maybe what not to do. And I don't think that matters if it's flower farming, row crop farming, nursing. I think you have to be okay to fail and let it be known as like experience and knowledge to advance yourself and move yourself forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just lessons learned and moving forward. So I like it.
Quote of the day. So courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway.
Yep.
John Wayne.
Yep.
So just get her done.
Yeah. Are you surprised that I knew that was John Wayne?
No, I'm not.
My dad has a big sign of that in the back, in the back room, in his office.
Yep. So. And I think that's one thing to our benefit is we're not afraid to just saddle up mm-hmm. and get it done.
And try it out. At least then you won't wonder.
No. And that's just it. Life's too short to wonder.
Exactly.
You just got to go for it.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, tuning in. We do these episodes every other Friday throughout the summer growing season. And if you like what you're hearing, send us an email, subscribe and rate us to the podcast. And thanks for being here. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the Flower Farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.